people can shout and they can jump and they can dance when the football game's on or when the hockey game's on, or I don't know if they do on baseball so much, or golf or anything like that. I guess they do, probably. I do like baseball, but praise the Lord. I just have always hated football. You know, I just always have. I don't know why, but praise the Lord. People can jump and shout and hoot and holler, and there's nothing. They didn't even have cheerleaders. We should have cheerleaders here. Let's have a cheer team here, amen. We should all be cheerleaders. We do have a cheer. Hey, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. She's gonna be the first. She's the captain of the family church cheerleading squad. Praise the Lord. And I believe that she knows how to stir people up. So maybe we're just going to have her come up here and start stirring people up. Amen. Praise the Lord. Because, you know, and there's nothing wrong with I'm not saying there's anything wrong with rejoicing over something that you love. If you love football, I know many people, football is a big thing to them, you know, and they absolutely love it. I don't know why, but they do. Praise the Lord. But, you know, if you do, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with celebrating things that you love. God gave us all things richly to enjoy. Amen. It doesn't mean that we have to enjoy everything. If we don't want to enjoy it, we don't. You know, like, I'm trying to think of something. I don't enjoy lima beans. You know what I mean? So I'm not going to rejoice over lima beans. I'll never get happy about lima beans. I'll never see them and think, thank the Lord for lima beans. Amen. Unless you enjoy them, then I'll thank the Lord on your behalf. Praise the Lord. But you know what I'm saying? But God gave us richly all things to enjoy. So there's nothing wrong with doing it. I'm not saying that at all. What I am saying is that we need to rejoice over the things that really matter, though. If we can do it so easily for something that doesn't matter, then we should do it over something that does matter. And Jesus coming to this earth and giving us a new way, a new hope, praise the Lord, that's something to get excited about. That's something to jump up and down about. It's something that we can be stirred up about. Amen. You know, the Bible has a lot to say about that, but we have to stir ourselves. If we don't stir ourselves, you know, my wife was talking about those bracelets. It's easy to get excited about something new when it's new. It's easy to get excited about something new when when it's just presented to you. Hey, that's a great idea. Let's get excited by it. And we could all, you know, buy those bracelets and put them on and wear them around for a week. But where are you in a month? Praise the Lord. When you find a place that God has called you to be, where are you in a month? You know what I'm saying? When the trials of life start coming at you and maybe you just aren't as excited to get up anymore, we have to stir ourselves up. Why is that? Because there's an enemy that tries to rob it from us. There's an enemy that doesn't want us be, you know, there's always going to be something imperfect as long as human hands are involved. You know, this church, as awesome as this church is, praise the Lord, it's not going to be perfect. I'm not going to be perfect. As great as a pastor as I am, praise the Lord, I'm not going to be perfect. There will be days that maybe I'll say something I shouldn't. There will be days that I'll maybe be a little more harsh than I should. There will be times where I may just miss it altogether and say something that was completely wrong. Now, we're going to believe God that's not most days. But, you know, I can miss it. I'm human. If we judge everything based on its potential to fail, we'll never get anywhere. The only one who will not fail is God. But see, this is the wonderful thing about our God, is he chose to use imperfect vessels to promote his gospel. He chose to use imperfect beings to take his gospel to the world. So we don't have to be perfect, and praise God for it. I don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be perfect. But I do know this, that if we had one scripture, and I just did nothing but preach one scripture for the rest of my life, and you sat here, no matter how knowledgeable or how in-depth in this, your studies you got, if you had one scripture preached to you, and you just hung on to that scripture with everything, as if it was like there was nothing greater, then your life would still continue to change and change and change, because the scripture is a written word of God, and it is a living word of God. It always will change us, praise the Lord. That's why I can get into the same scriptures, even being a pastor for 4 years almost. I can get into the same scriptures and still be just as excited about them as I was before. They can still mean something to me. You know, just last night I was talking to my brother Josh here after service in Corey, and the Lord reminded me of a scripture that I just so dearly love. It's Proverbs 16:3. Praise the Lord. which says, commit your ways to the Lord, or commit what you're doing to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established, it says. I love that scripture. I know that scripture well. But just thinking about it last night stirred me up so much more, because I remembered what it says. If you just remember one scripture that tells you what God's love is, how God's love is toward you, or what God wants to do, praise the Lord, it can stir you if you let it, hallelujah, and get you going in a new course, in a new way. Praise the Lord, because God makes all things new all the time. You know, there's people that get bored if it's, you know, I hope you don't mind me going on a little bit of rant here, but we have a kind of a thing in our society with the young folk that it's hard to keep them entertained because they're so used to this. I was talking about this last night too. They're so used to being focused on something that everything else is boring to them. You know, and that's actually a dangerous thing. We have to be sure that we point kids in the right direction, and that we make them, you know, listen, it's not all about always being entertained. Life isn't about always being entertained. We have to move beyond that at some point. I'm not just going to talk about the kids, because I'm going to tell you adults. I find myself in the same thing. You get used to your equipment, right? So you got your phone there, you got your iPad there, you got your TV there, whatever it is, and it's constantly calling out to you and drawing you in. And sometimes we need to step away. I believe wholeheartedly that's why the Lord led me and my wife back to a regular Bible. You know, we still use our devices and stuff like that, but you have to understand that it's important to break away from those things, anything that draws us in and traps us and keeps us from going into all that God has for us. Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, that's free, no charge. Amen? God is good. Today's message is called He is the Way. Amen. And I fully believe that this message, although it's not part of the series that I was preaching specifically or technically, it goes right along the lines of what I've been preaching the last 3 weeks. Praise the Lord. And I'm just endeavoring to follow God and to go with what He has for us. But, you know, this message came to me very clearly, and so I know that it's of God. But go ahead and turn with me to John 14:6, and just wait there for me while I say some other things that I want to say. John 14:6, praise the Lord. 2018, Jesus is the way. We need to make sure that 2018 is a life where Jesus is lived, where Jesus is our way, where He's the direction. And what I mean by that is not just, you know, not just saying, oh, Jesus is Lord. You know, Christians, they can make a mistake because they think just because they go to church, because they proclaim this faith, I'm a Christian, I have a Bible, I read my Bible, I pray to God, all this stuff. They sometimes have this mistake of thinking that's it. But you know, we can lose our purpose if we're not constantly pointing our lives back towards the Lord. You know, we talked in the last few weeks, we talked about God having purpose for everything. But you know, we as people, as children of God, we need to also have purpose in what we do. We need to have purpose. Why do we go to church? Do we just go to church because it's what we're supposed to do? Well, if that's the reason, it's wrong. Listen, even if you do things that are good for the wrong reason, they can still be wrong. We don't want to just go to church because it's what we're supposed to do. We want to go to church because we want to know the plan of God. We don't want to gather together. We don't want to be in the presence of the Lord just because what He made us to do. Praise the Lord. There's a lot of times where preaching, as a pastor, preaching is just bringing people to that point of just doing the very basic of getting in the door. Even Christians. People I've known who have been saved for years, maybe even all their lives, and still have no purpose. If you have no purpose and you've been saved for 20 years, you still have no purpose. You need to have purpose. God has given us purpose. We need to have purpose. Amen? Praise the Lord. So we need to live for the Lord. Jesus is the way. Now, it should be this way all the time, but God's given us a new start here in 2018. He's given us a new start for a new year. So let's take that start and say, hey, I'm going to start fresh this year. Praise the Lord. And I encourage you this. If you've been seeking the Lord with all your heart, if you've been giving Him everything that you have, in the past year, the past years, I encourage you to stir it up and say, I'm going to give him something else this year. I'm going further. I'm seeking God because our God is always one level to a greater level God. He doesn't want us to stay in one place. He's always bringing us higher. And so we need to go higher. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. But I wrote this down, you know, just before service today, that you can lose your purpose if you are not diligent to keep it. I said you can lose your purpose if you're not diligent to keep it. I can lose my purpose if I'm not diligent to keep it as a pastor of a church. Because just because I come to pastor the church and I prepare a sermon and I come here and I do my pastorly duties does not make me have purpose. Only when I choose, when I decide, when I want to be in the plan of God. Listen, the plan of God is continual. It doesn't start today and stop tomorrow. It starts when you get born again. Actually, he created his plan for you way before you even existed, before he created the earth. And it's to continue on into eternity. It starts maybe today for you because you just came or whatever, but it's going to continue on forever. Amen? Because God's got a plan. He's got a purpose. When I say that he is the way, this is what I named it, called the sermon, he is the way. We know, and we're going to read this scripture, and it'll be very familiar to many of you, maybe all of you. John 14, 6, praise the Lord. And it says, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, so often we Scripture is the idea of salvation, that when you know nobody's going to get into heaven except through Jesus, and it's right and good to use it that way. But that is not all that he was talking about. How do I know that? Because he said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Hallelujah. He didn't say I'm the afterlife. He didn't say I am the once you're dead and going on from there. He said, I am the life. I am the way. The way of the Lord, the way of Jesus is the way. It's the only way, the way God is going. Listen, it's not just what's written in these pages that matters. Where is the Lord taking us? How is he moving me? And I don't even mean as necessarily as a congregation. We need to ask individually. We need to go before the Lord. I got to ask you this. Have you gone before the Lord recently and say, Lord, where are you taking me? What do you want from me, God? Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? I'm not just talking about, you know, like in one situation. I'm saying, Lord, what's the direction for my life? Yeah. Praise the Lord. You know, we raise kids. Praise God for raising kids. And we send them to colleges and we give them all these things. But so often do we even teach them the concept of following God. God, Jesus said, I am the way. That means that he is the way to go, the path, the direction to go. Wherever he goes, we are supposed to go. Praise the Lord. Listen, if you have been serving in the church for 1,000 years, this message is no less for you. If you are the most spiritual Christian there is, and you pray every day in tongues, and you do all these wonderful things, praise God, you help the homeless, and you help the poor, and you go out there and you help little old ladies cross the street, praise God for you. But this message still applies to you. It still applies, and the number one reason it applies is because it's the direction of the Lord. God is not okay. We have to constantly evaluate ourselves and what we do, our motives, and what we are doing. This is why people get so screwed up in the world, because they don't constantly evaluate things. Amen? They just, you know, there's so many people in this world, and this country is full of it. Everything in this country that the mass, and you see it in the mass media and all this stuff that they talk about, all the issues in this country come down to just a few things, and it's emotion. Yeah. It's people's emotions. They want to, emotionally, they want to help somebody, so they come up, they feel their emotions, they want to help somebody, and so they do what emotions do. They don't even think about what makes sense. They don't think about what works and what doesn't work. They don't think about what it does down the line. They just, we got to fix this right now. Yeah. Praise the Lord. It's not the way of God. God is a purpose-driven God, and we are made to be purpose-driven people. God wants people helped. He wants all those people helped. God wants them helped more than any single president, any governor, any public official. God wants them helped. But they will not be helped if it's not according to his purpose. Why? Because they were created in his purpose. This is why people fumble all the time. This is why Christians fumble. Because they're trying to do things based on what they know or what they can figure out, and they just don't get there. We have to be people of purpose. We have to be reminded of this constantly. Amen? And one of the biggest ways we do that is through ourselves. The way to the Father is not just Christ, but it's a Christ life. It's a life lived. Now see, when he says, I am the way to the Father, he's not just saying to where he is. Because in essence, God is everywhere. But what it means, but it's the way to the Father, it means it's access to everything that he is. When God, and see, that's the thing. When my wife and I, and this is why some marriages don't do well, but this is why my marriage does. Because my wife and I, everything is each other's. We don't have separate anything. We don't have separate bank accounts. We don't have separate, nothing. There's nothing that I don't have a credit card she doesn't know about. She doesn't have a credit card I don't know about. She doesn't have a credit card I don't have access to. She doesn't have a paycheck that I don't have access to. I don't have a paycheck she doesn't have access to. Nothing separate. That's why our life is good. That's why it works. And that's exactly how God intended it. If it's anything other than that, it is not God's plan and not God's purpose. How do I know this? Because the Bible says a husband and wife come together and they become one. One. One is not separate. One can never be separate. If there's something separate, then... See, the Bible says that things that are separate are secret. Like that, you know, things that are secret and things that are secret are evil. Because God exposes, the light exposes secrets. Right? Because God doesn't want things to be secrets. He wants us to know. And you can't keep secrets against yourself. Praise the Lord. How did I get on that rant? I don't know, but it was good. Praise the Lord. But God wants us to be one. He wants us to live a life that of togetherness, that is not separate, that we're not, you know, from him. He has a God that wants us to experience everything that he has. But people don't because people aren't. And what I mean by that is that people won't, and so because the people of the church won't, the people of the world just don't see it. They don't see it. If the church was walking in the true power the church was supposed to walk in, there would be no question to the people of the world. Actually, a lot of times there's not, but people choose not to. I know people that choose to ignore the truth. Usually you say, I can present the truth to you. They say, I don't want to hear it. Those are people that will go to hell because they want to. Yeah, it's the truth. I've seen it before, and we'll see it many more times. That's not God's plan, not God's purpose. But God wants us to show the world what it's like to live as a child of God. He wants us to show them what it means to be Christ-like, to have a Christ-filled life. And sometimes, listen, sometimes not everything you're going to like to hear. But who cares? Are we really going to be such lilies that we have to get all upset, that we have to have safe spaces because we don't like to hear something? Get over it. Those kind of people need to be smacked upside the head and kicked in the pants and sent on the way. Say, listen, grow up and stop being such a baby, because guess what? You're going to fail at everything in life, because that is, dear God, a lot of these people believe in evolution. They'd be the ones eating. Do you understand what I'm saying? I mean, that's the truth. These people believe in evolution, and then what? They're safe spaces. Do you understand what you are saying? Praise the Lord. Don't get me going on that. Huh? Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The way to the Father is a Christ life. It's living as Christ directs us, as Christ has said, but as he directs us continually. Amen? Turn with me to Philippians 2, verse 12. Praise the Lord. Philippians, I forgot for a second where it is. There we are. Philippians 2, verse 12. Praise the Lord. Philippians 2:12. I want to make sure that that's right. I was in 3:12. That's why it didn't sound right. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. So I'm going to stop right there. Do you do things only in the presence of people? Do you do things only because you're in front of the pastor? Do you say certain things only because you're around other Christians? Or do you do them in their absence as well? Do you do them, you know, that's like serving at a church, praise the Lord. Do you do what was asked of you, or do you do it the way you could get away with doing it? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Yeah, it's the truth. There's people all the time that will do things half-heartedly, and they have no reward. That's a character issue. Praise God. Well, I ain't going to stay there all day because I want you to like me. But it matters. See, this whole world, if we would just expose, if we would allow the light to expose the evil deeds of this world, this whole world would be a lot different. You understand? Amen? Because it's always the evil things. It's always what, oh, praise God, hallelujah. I keep getting drawn back that way, but praise the Lord. I'm just going to follow the Lord, and we're going to see where we go. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Hallelujah. Now, there's a lot of people get offended about this. Good. I'm glad that they would get offended by it. Yes, we have a God that wants you to do his good pleasure. God created you. He made you to work a certain way. And that way is going to have to do with his good pleasure. You don't have to like it, but you can spend the rest of eternity in hell, too, because you don't like it. You know, see, this is the thing. This is what happens when we erase truth. When we take truth out of the equation, what you have is a free-for-all that just doesn't work. It crashes down. It falls apart. I mean, dear Jesus, look around us. Look at this country and tell me. This state is a perfect example of liberal policies that fail. This state is a perfect example of liberal. It's been run by left-wing nuts for God knows how long, and look how well it's working for us. Our taxes are just about the highest in the country. The only one that beats us is a state that's worse than ours and the same group of people. Yeah, the worst taxes, the worst regulations. Businesses don't want to be here because they can't do business here. Jobs are leaving and going everywhere else. Why does this happen? See, you got to look at what's going, controlling things, and you got to start using your head, the thinker that God put on top. You see, you don't have to be very smart to get this. You don't have to have a college education to understand this stuff. You can be a dummy like me. You can be a high school dropout and get this. Hallelujah. You don't have to be that smart. Praise the Lord. You know, we can't continue to do things that oppose the things that God has set up. What are the things? What am I talking about? I'm talking about God said things like, the Bible says things like, if you don't work, you don't eat. Yeah. Yeah. How's that? Praise the Lord. That does not mean that, you know, obviously sometimes there's like a single mother or something like that that has to have government assistance, and that's fine. I'm not talking, he wasn't talking about that. But what we're talking about is people who say, well, I don't, you know, I graduated from college and I got a liberal arts degree and I can't get a job making $150,000 a year, so I'm going to continue to live in my parents' basement and not do anything. That's the kind of mindset. And you say, well, how does that have anything to do with church? It has a lot to do with church. Because the thing is if you put these principles in kids, they wouldn't grow up to be that way. How about disciplining children? Listen, if you won't discipline your children, you need to be smacked. Hallelujah. Yeah, because we have a whole world of children that are running around that don't ever get a whack on the backside, and they are the ones that are causing a lot of the issues. And it's not their fault. It's their parents' fault because they're too much lilies. They're too afraid to do things. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, I woke up nice this morning, but I don't know where this is going, man. What'd you feed me this morning? She didn't feed me anything. That's just a joke, you know. There'd be some people be offended by that. Oh, what do you mean? Why does she have to feed you? Get off of it. Get off of it. Praise the Lord. She doesn't have to feed me, but if she wants to and it blesses me, praise the Lord. If it blesses her, praise the Lord. And if she doesn't want to, I'll find something else to eat. Glory to God. We got to stop being so stinking. What? Oh, because yeah, I call these three right here. They're my girls. Praise the Lord. Some people get offended because they're women. You can't call them girls. Don't. What do I want to say? Can I say something? You're going to get me swearing in here in a minute. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I don't know where all this is coming from. Somebody brought something in with them today, and we're going to kick it out that door. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Take this and share. This is why we don't do live stream. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. People can't think for themselves, and they certainly can't think. You know, people think that this is binding them, but what's binding them is all the stupid thought processes that this world is just like pumping into people. And don't think that it's not the devil that's doing it. Praise the Lord. I don't mean anything insulting when I call them my girls. Calling these three my girls is the most affectionate thing that I can possibly do. Praise the Lord. And they know it. Do any of you hate it?
No.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Where was I? I was in here somewhere. Oh, yes. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That word, those weird words for fear and trembling is not being afraid, not being afraid of God, as some people like to. You know, that comes from the, you know, this translation that we get is based out of the 1611 Old English. So a lot of the words that were translated are, they're proper and it's right, but we sometimes there's a little bit misunderstanding because we don't use the words the same way anymore. For example, if you use the word gay 50 years ago, it'd mean totally different thing than it does today. I'm not saying there's any kind of slight against anybody. It's just the truth. It was a totally different meaning. Praise the Lord. It's the same thing with us here today. It's the same exact thing. It's a total, people misunderstand that and think you got to be afraid of God. That's not what he's talking about. That fear, the word fear, is it means reverence and being in a reverential, like a reverential, respect. Yes, thank you. Respect for it, to think about it, and not just, you know, when you I have a healthy respect of big animals with sharp teeth. If I'm in the woods, you know what I mean? I don't wear my meat suit when I'm in the woods. Do you know what I'm saying? I don't go to the woods tasting like beef jerky. You know, you do stuff. Why? Because I have a healthy respect for bears. Do you know what I mean? I don't walk up to, I love this one. This is going to go back into my previous rant, but we'll take that out again. I have a healthy fear of moving vehicles. Why? Because I have that much intelligence in me. Anybody who steps out in front of a moving vehicle without thinking about it needs to be hit. I'm telling you, I'm talking about people who purpose to do this kind of stuff. You know those people, it's a lot of times you think it was just dumb kids, but it's not just dumb kids, it's dumb adults too. They just walk out in the middle of the street, cars are coming down the street. When I was growing up, cars, like the idea was in your head, and I don't even remember you teaching me this, but there was an idea in my head that if that car hits me, it isn't going to feel very good. That's what this reverential fear is. You understand? I'm not afraid of cars. I drive one, a truck every day, a vehicle. I drive it every day. I love it. I'm not afraid of it. But listen, if I'm going to be on the side of the road, I'm going to have, this is the same, this is what it's talking about. We need to have a reverential respect and understanding for the things of God, for the things of the way the world works. Otherwise, we will never, ever, ever be able to operate. Praise the Lord. So you work out your own salvation. That word salvation, this is what I'm trying to get to. That word salvation, if you look it up in the original language, it means deliverance, and specifically deliverance from molestation of enemies. It means health, salvation as the present possession of all true, true, true Christians. Future salvation, so of course, when we die. The sum of benefits and blessings that come from that. Yeah. Hallelujah. That's what that word salvation means. Work out your own salvation. What is this? It is your life, folks. It is how we live. It is everything that we experience. It is what we see, what we do, what we taste, how we live. This is what the salvation is. It also means preservation. I love this word preservation because I looked that up too, not in the original language, I just looked it up in the dictionary, same one you can get. The action of preserving something, continuation, conservation, maintenance, upholding, sustaining, perpetuation. This is what that word salvation means, your sustenance, how you sustain, how you continue, day in and day out. Praise the Lord. You know, we just come out of the Christmas season. Anybody having Christmas cookies? Anybody try any? Praise the Lord. If you came to the church, you probably had some. I know that. So everybody, but listen, you can't sustain yourself on Christmas cookies. You have to have a healthy fear and respect for food to understand that you can't go on eating Christmas cookies nonstop the rest of your life. Amen? You know, we have to give great thought to preservation of our lives. We have to give great, we have to work, this is what he's talking about. When you work out your own salvation, you are working out your own preservation. You are thinking about your own preservation with respect, with knowledge that we are mortal beings, which knowledge that there are rules that work in the universe that keep us a certain way. For example, if you climb to the top of this building, not very tall, but regardless of it not being very tall, if you step off the edge, you're still gonna, you're gonna succumb to the law of gravity. So you have a healthy fear and respect for gravity. Now, is there anybody who hates gravity? Only if you're stepping off the edge of a building. But if you're on the ground, you pretty much like gravity, because if you don't like gravity, you wouldn't stay here. You know, I'm going to give you an example of unreasonable fears. Back in my former life, when I was going through depression and anxiety and all this stuff, one of the anxieties that the devil put on me was very interesting. But it was, I was walking across, my parents had this property, and they had the house up towards the road, and then down back they had a pond. And it was quite a ways in between, you know, maybe a couple acres in between or something like that. And they kept that all mowed, and we would have parties down by the pond. But I remember distinctly, because in this time period I was going through all these things in life, and all this depression and all this anxiety and stuff like that. And this was real to me. One day I'm walking down back to there, and I get halfway between the house and halfway between the house and the pond, and all of a sudden this thought entered my head that was real as as anything is real. This thought came into my head: what happens if I start floating away? Now, I know that sounds funny, but in my mind at the time it wasn't, because I started having a panic attack. I started freaking out because there was nothing I could grab onto. I thought my life was ending. This is where I went down this road of just absolute terror. Because of one thought. You see, that's not a rational thought. It's not something rational to think. But see, this is what the devil does. He always tries to take people away from rational and put them into irrational. What got me beyond that was the word of God telling me that I wouldn't float away. Amen? Because I'm anchored on solid ground, praise the Lord. But you understand that we have to have a serious grounding, a thought to our life that is beyond just what I'm going to eat, what I'm going to wear, where I'm going to work, all this stuff. Now, what is my direction? Because see, this is the thing. We're here for just a few years, give or take a few. That's not that long at all. So we have something to accomplish while we're here. Some people live it just wrapped up in pleasures. Yeah, some people just so involved in their pleasures that they don't realize that there's something much greater at stake. Praise the Lord. We have to think about our preservation, our continuation, conservation, our maintenance. We have to work out our own salvation with respect, with purpose. Amen. We have to look at what we're doing, and we have to consider those things, because if we don't, we're going to be people that are lost. Amen. Praise the Lord. John 10:10, I want to read it to you in the Amplified. It says, "The thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy. Jesus said this, 'I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows.'" This is what a life filled with God does. You know, I can get up here and give you all the antics and joke around and jump around, hoot and holler and all this stuff. But this is ultimately what it's all about. This is what God wants for us. Everybody in life is seeking this this scripture right here. Everybody in life is. There is nobody, I don't care if you're a Christian or not, you are seeking the end part of this, that you want to have and enjoy life and have it in abundance till it's full, until it overflows. That's what people want. You know, I go back on this, and shame on you if you ever do this, but people who despise riches and stuff like that, you know, people who are always talking down about rich people and stuff like that, everybody wants to be rich. I have not met one person who does not want to be fully supplied. I have never met a person, and if I have, they'd be a fool. I've never met somebody who wants to go without, who truly wants to go without. Is there anybody here who has experienced? What it really amounts to is people get jealous, and so they and I know I've said this before, but I'm going to say it again because it's important for us to keep these at the forefront of our mind. Why? Because we have old media outlets that are trying to push people to that place where we despise people, anybody who's rich, just because they're rich. That's complete foolishness. God was rich. Jesus was rich. God made Solomon rich. Are you going to despise all the forefathers in Scripture that were rich? You're going to despise them because they have? Well, praise the Lord. I'm going to tell you what. If you live in this country, you are rich. You are rich because you have more than any third world country even has. If you ate 3 full meals a day in this world, you are considered wealthy. How would you feel people despise you? Well, I don't have a job. You still. This country, I mean, listen, look at us. We could be the poor people, a place where poor people can be overweight. Yeah, I'm not speaking again. I'm not talking. Listen, I'm overweight. I'm not talking. I'm not talking down about people overweight. What I'm saying is, we live in a country where the poor are not starving. Praise God. Hallelujah. This is what people seek. This is what everybody wants. This is the purpose. This is why people go get a degree or get a job somewhere. Why do people work jobs they don't hate? Because they want this. And it's right here in Scripture. Jesus said, I've come that they may have life, have and enjoy life, and have it in abundance to the full until it overflows. This is what Jesus has provided. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. He's saying the same thing. See, this is what happens when we put Scriptures together. We start seeing the plan of God unfold. This is why it's foolishness when people say, well, that's how you interpret. No, I interpret it the way it meant to be interpreted, with other Scripture. You don't just pull one thing out and say, oh, this is what I think is true. No, you look at what Scripture after Scripture after Scripture says. That's why there's no interpretation to it. It's not about interpretation in the sense of, oh, you have your interpretation, I have my interpretation. You can read the same Scriptures. Can you read this anything anyway else? If you read this, would you think that Jesus, because Jesus was the one speaking this way, and nobody will disagree with that, that this is what, these were his words in Scripture. Can you read this any other way and see that Jesus wants you poor, wants you defeated, wants you to have life without, not full of joy, not happy? Right? You know what I'm saying? Can we interpret this any other way? Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory. Now I want to read the Philippians that we just read, verses 12 and 13. We'll read those in the Amplified. Therefore, my dear ones, as you have always obeyed my suggestions, so now, not only with the enthusiasm you would show in my presence, but much more because I am absent, work out, cultivate, carry out the goal, and fully complete your own salvation with reverence and awe and trembling. And then it puts in parentheses what that means, self-distrust. With serious caution, tenderness of conscience, watchfulness against temptation, timidly shrinking from whatever might offend God and discredit the name of Christ. You see, there's so many people that are worried about offending people, and the one that they should be worried about offending, they don't even think about. Praise the Lord. God will eventually throw this entire planet into the lake of fire. Just get destroyed, right? That's, you got to understand that. That's pretty big. Praise God. I don't want to be on that side of it. Amen? We have to work out, cultivate, carry out to the goal, and fully complete our own salvation with reverence and awe and trembling, self-distrust. We cannot, listen, if you are going to bank on yourself, you will fail. If you are going to bank on me, I will fail you. If you are going to bank on somebody else, everybody, see, this is the problem. This is why people get offended. I wanted to preach a message this week about that, about offense, and we may preach it soon, but about offended. This is why people get offended. This is why people get hurt. If somebody has hurt you, it is only because you have put some kind of level of trust or some kind of level of importance on that they could take away from you. And that was your own foolish fault. Yeah. I'm just going to tell you the truth right now. It was your own foolish fault. If you bank on somebody else, that is your fault. It's not their fault. People will fail you. Everybody will fail you. I will fail. I will not be the perfect pastor. There will be things that I will do wrong. You will not have the perfect husband. You will not have the perfect wife. You will not have the perfect children, although mine are close, praise God. You will not have... and all those things. You will not have the perfect parents. You will not have the perfect anything. None of that matters because we have a God. That's why we point things towards God. See, when we trust in ourselves, when we trust in our abilities, we always fail. Yeah. You trust in them, they'll fail you. Yeah. Why? Because they're humans. Yeah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Yeah. Glory to God. Glory. Not in your own strength, for it is God who is all the while effectively at work in you, energizing and creating in you the power and desire both to will and to work for his good pleasure and satisfaction and delight. Praise God. Your salvation is the life you live in Christ. The degree to which you devote to it determines the amount of abundance you get from it. That is very important. The degree which you devote to it determines the amount of abundance you get from it. You cannot be mad at another Christian because they are excelling because they are doing the work of the Lord. You can't. And I'm going to tell you right now, if there's a Christian who is doing it on false pretense, it will come crashing down. How do I know that? We see big ministries happen to big ministries. Not that every big ministry is bad, not by any stretch of the imagination. But what happens when somebody in big ministry and they don't have their character right? What happens? They're out there in the forefront, and then they screw up, and then everybody's like, oh, look at them. Meanwhile, the ones that are pointing at them are worse scumbags than the one who screwed up. How do I know that? Because they'll point to a minister who screws up because maybe fell into adultery or something like that, and they'll point to them and say, oh, what a horrible person, yet they're going out and fornicating and adultering all the time. Yeah. Praise the Lord. They're sitting there at home watching videos or watching, looking at magazines or doing whatever, fornicating and adultering all the time. Yeah. Well, praise God. Let's continue reading on verse 14 in Philippians. This is a regular. We'll read through verse 16. Do all things without complaining and disputing. Oh, Jesus. We could preach a message on that. Do all things. All things. You have no right to complain or dispute. None. There's no complaining. You know what I love? I love when people in the church, they have ideas. I love it. Because whenever somebody has ideas, listen, if you're not asked for your ideas, then that's when you keep your mouth shut. Yeah. I'm going to tell you right now, when you get to lead something, then you have ideas. But when you are under somebody else's direction, oh, praise the Lord. I don't know where this boldness is coming from, but it's real good. I'm stepping into it now, and I'm going to be fearful of it later, but I'm going to tell you right now, because I've learned this. Why does it get done this way? Because I was asked to do it this way. Listen, if you don't trust where you're at, go somewhere else. You don't have to sit there. But we don't run church according to popular opinion, because every time a church is run according to popular opinion, it ends up in the toilet and everybody running around with their heads cut off, not knowing what to do. Why? Because God never set things up for everybody to be leader. You're not all leaders. You're not all perfect at leading. I'm not perfect at leading, but I'm anointed to do it. And so I'm anointed to do it for this church and any other church that I'm called to pastor or anywhere else. Why are we doing this? Because this is the direction of God. This is how he gave it. If you like it, great. If you don't, go somewhere else. I mean, that's the way it is. Yeah. You know, I'm flipping my pages. I'm not even touching them, maybe. People in this world, there's so much, you know, everybody wants. I love this. I was talking to my wife about the government. Do you think that you have all the knowledge that any given president, I don't care what president it is, not just this one, doesn't matter which one, do you think you have all the knowledge that any given president, all the intelligence, I'm not talking about intelligence, I'm talking about intelligence that any president has? You have none of it. You don't know anything. We're like sheep. Praise the Lord. We just walk around, this tastes good, we look at that. Oh, that's not very good. But you don't know. See, this is the thing. We have to understand, we are not going to know everything, always. And so we don't have a right to speak about that. But, you know, as long as we have things like social media, it gives everybody a right to their opinion. Yeah. Praise the Lord. This is disastrous in this world. This is something that is a breakdown of our society. Why? Because now everybody's opinion matters, even if they're a complete idiot. Yeah. Complete morons have opinions that matter. And people are like, well, their opinion matters. No, their opinion doesn't matter because they're speaking out of their butt. They don't know what they're saying. Praise the Lord if I could say that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Come on, tell me you haven't listened to somebody, you're like, man, that just stinks. That stinks. Oh, I mean, you know it ain't coming from somewhere good. You know what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. But that's it, you know, but listen, I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just trying to speak to you the way it is. If we don't look at things right, then we are going to look at things wrong. That's a truth. I know we don't like truth in this world. Truth is something, you know, it's subjective and all this stuff. No, it ain't. Truth is truth. It's always going to be truth. The truth is, if you ain't right, you're wrong. And if you're wrong, you ain't right. That's the truth. You're not halfway in between. You're not kind. No, if you're wrong, you're wrong. If you're right, you're right. Praise God. Well, hallelujah. Do all things. All this because you aren't supposed to complain or dispute. Yeah. Oh. Well, praise the Lord. That you may become blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. But what are the children of God doing? They're going out there and doing the same thing the world's doing. They're out there running their mouths. They're out there talking about stuff they shouldn't be talking about. I see people on the, I see Christians listen, there's a difference between what when you're preaching something and you're preaching under the anointing and you're preaching to people for a specific reason. There's a difference between that and going out in the world and saying things. There's a difference between that because there's a whole difference what you're trying to get to. And if you can't understand that, whether you're still a fool, you need to spend some more time like growing up. But see, there's a difference when we're here and when we're out there. There's a difference when you're feeding people something and when you're trying to win people. Praise the Lord, glory to God. You can't be bold like this when you're trying to win somebody. You can't. You can't go up to somebody that you're trying to win and start screaming in their face. Praise the Lord. You can't do that. You cannot do that. You can't be that Christian that look. Oh. But we are in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. We see these things all over the place. They're calling evil. They're calling it good. There's people that get mad at me because I call evil evil. But it is what it is. I mean, you don't have to like it, but I don't care that you don't like it. I don't care that anyone doesn't like it. I don't care that people don't like the truth. It does not matter to me. I'm still going to preach the truth. Amen? When did things become so subjective? I mean, like, apply it to any other law. Again, apply it to gravity. So I don't want to believe in gravity today. Well, praise the Lord. You're not going to get very far. You're still going to be affected by it. Amen? Praise the Lord. Where was I? Verse 15. That you may become blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. We are supposed to be lights to the world. What does light do? Light draws people in. You know, when we were driving down to Corey last night, it wasn't quite dark out yet, and there was lots of snow out there, but there was a fire going out there in the field. And my wife pointed to it. You know, it was like really pretty, this really bright orange light against the white and everything getting dark and stuff. You know, it draws you in. That's what lights are supposed to do. They're supposed to draw people in. But what are people doing? They're Christians are going out there and they're disputing. They're not walking in the way of the Lord. They're disputing with one another. That's what I was saying. You go on like social media. This is one of the reasons I got off Facebook. Because you go on Facebook and I'd see Christians, sometimes even parts of my church, saying things that are so stupid that you're just like, dear Jesus, it makes me look bad. Right. Yeah, listen, if you're going to get on Facebook and do something stupid, don't say you go to my church. You know what I'm saying? Just don't do it because it makes me look bad. It makes the church. It does. It just does. Why? Because when something goes wrong out there, when a Christian, see, this you don't understand. This is why the devil works at you. Because when you act like an idiot out there, everybody out there starts pointing to here and saying, well, it's that church that does it. It's that church. It's all about that. You know what I mean? That's when they'll give us the credit. They won't give us the credit when something good happens, but when somebody. But anyways, Christians will be sitting there bashing the president. I never bash the president in public. In public, I never sat there and said I don't. I couldn't stand as our president, our last president. But I didn't sit here and bash him. I prayed for him every single week, faithfully. Why? Because I don't want him to fail. I don't want any president to fail. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. It's the same thing when you have Christians bashing this president, bashing that president, bashing this. Instead of praying, instead of using, no, you're supposed to do all things without complaining, without disputing, except that's what they do. And see, I don't know how that, I mean, this is not where I intended going with all this. But this is what's coming out, praise the Lord. Because God wants his people to be going in a certain direction. He wants them walking in the fullness of what he has for them. And we're not going to get that unless we do those things. Unless we walk in the way that he has us to walk, amen? Your salvation is the life you live in Christ. To the degree which you devote to it determines the amount of abundance you get from it. Praise the Lord. Holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. I understand this wholeheartedly, because when the people that I am to minister to, when they excel, causes me to rejoice. Yeah. It causes me to rejoice when people are going out there and winning people for the kingdom. It causes me to rejoice because that's exactly what it does. It's when you're the father of a work, if you will, That's exactly what happens is you have that rejoicing. You know how it is when your kids do well. Praise the Lord. When you have kids that go out and excel, but you have that one kid, you know, you don't know anybody wants to talk about, but we just point to Jimmy and see how good he did, you know, or something like that. Praise the Lord. I'm just, you know, well, whatever, I'm using an example. Turn with me to Colossians 1:9. Glory to God. Hey, don't all start hating me today. This is the beginning of a new year. God wants to take us into good things. But see, this is the thing. We aren't going to get there without consecration. We aren't going to get there without directing ourselves, without saying, you know what, I'm just going to get on board and I'm going to get hungry for the thing. Not because Pastor Jeff says it, because it's in Scripture. You know, when we see things in Scripture, when we understand, listen, a lot of this, you know, comes out of the idea that I deal with a lot of things that I've become callous to. I do become callous to certain things because I deal with it so much. I get callous to issues sometimes. I mean, I try to be sweet and nice, but I do. I get callous to issues. I get callous to things people go through. Why? Because we all go through them. Listen, if you're going through something and you're having a hard time, the only answer for you is the Word of God. I can't help you. I can't change it. I can't fix it. I can't come in and magically make it disappear. All I can do is teach you the Word, have you do the Word, and once you do the Word, your life will change. But if you don't do the Word, and this is also what I have to deal with as a pastor, as I deal with people who choose not to do the Word, and when they don't do the Word, their life starts falling apart, and then they expect me to come in and help clean it up. I get callous to those things because after a certain amount of time, you just get to the point. There are some people that come in, they get excited about the work, they want to do everything they can for God, and there are some people that come in and they won't ever want anything to do with it. And, Paul, praise you. Yeah. That's not always a fun thing. But you understand, our goal is to get everybody to that place. And then you have places, you've got people out there that just hate you because of whatever. Yeah. Praise God, hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I have seen more people in this church that have had their lives changed. Nothing that you could, I could go through and point out names. And yet there's still people on the outside that sit there and want to say, you're bad because of this, you're bad because of that. They have no idea, praise God. Yeah. Glory. Colossians 1:9, we're reading through verse 19. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. This just came up inside of me and I'm going to say it. If you won't do what's right, you will not have the power of God working in your life. This is separate from what I'm reading, but it just came to my spirit. Listen to me. I want every person in this place, if you have listened to nothing I've said, listen to what I'm saying right now. If you will not do what is right, you will not have the power of God working in your life. It will not work. You aren't going to have the deliverance you seek because you won't do what's right. You have to do what's right. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Doesn't that sound like Ephesians 1? We pray every week that you be filled with the spirit of wisdom and revelation and all things concerning you. Concerning him. That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. These are two things that every Christian should be doing. They should be fruitful in every good work. So everything good that you do should be fruitful. And if it's not fruitful, then it's not good, and then you put it aside. It's not hard. But so many people, they will stay with unfruitful works. What are those things? Those things they know they shouldn't do. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Those things, they know that they should stop doing them, but they continue doing them, and that's why they are continually unfruitful. You have to put down the unfruitful works, increasing in the knowledge of God. God wants two things for you. He wants you to increase and be fruitful. Being fruitful is not a bad thing. Nobody's planted a fruit tree not hoping that they would get nothing or hoping they'd get nothing off of it. You plant a fruit tree because you want fruit, right? And generally, you don't plant a fruit tree of fruit you don't like, right? You're going to plant something you like. Hallelujah. I would not plant a lima bean tree anywhere. I would pull them up and it would make room for a chocolate tree. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. They make them. They have chocolate trees, I'm telling you. That you may walk worthy of the... They better, because the chocolate, they're running out of chocolate in this world. I just saw a news article. Being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. He wants us to be fruitful. He wants us to increase in knowledge. He wants us to know Him more, to know more about Him. We should, as Christians. Amen? Strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy. Listen, if I'm going through a trial, one thing I've learned, it's one of very few reasons. It is either because I am being disobedient. It is either because I am disobedient or because it's an attack. It is never because God doesn't love me. And you have to decide which one it is. Is it because you're disobedient? Well, what do? You go to your life and you say, is there anywhere that the Lord has been dealing with me that I know is wrong and I need to fix and I haven't fixed it? Or is there something I'm supposed to be doing that I keep refusing to do, even though I know I'm supposed to do it? Is there something like that in my life? And if all the answer to those are no, then what you go to is, it's an attack. In either way, you have an easy fix. If you're doing what's wrong or you're not doing something and you know that's the reason, then you just start doing it or you stop doing whatever you need to do. If it's the matter of just an attack, well, then you just rejoice because you know it'll be over soon because the Lord takes you through and you'll be victorious on the other side. And because you stood in faith, you'll get a reward, a prize. You'll get some nice treats on the other side of it too. So it doesn't matter because anything the devil will throw at you, if you stay in faith, well, praise the Lord. God will get you through it. You'll get over it, and He'll give you a present as a taboo. Lots of presents. What do they look like? They look like a lot of things, but they're good. Amen? Yeah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. You cannot be a partaker in the darkness. So if you're doing deeds that you are no or dark, or things are in darkness, if you are continually doing things in darkness, oh my God, why can't I get off this? Listen to me. If you are continually doing things in darkness, if you are continually doing things that are wrong, knowing they are wrong, you are always going to have the same result. Stop being a fool. I'm speaking by the Spirit right now. Stop being a fool. Stop being like the world. Stop doing things. Stop returning to your own vomit. Do the things that you know you're supposed to do, and you will get out of the trial that you have been in. But the reason for the trial is not because God wants you in the trial. He has sent people to help you. He has sent the Word to help you. He has sent His Son to help you. God wants you out, and the only one that's going to change it is you, if you choose to decide to walk in the will and the way of the Lord. If you follow His plans and His paths, you will have what that gets. But if you follow the devil's plans and the devil's paths, do not be deceived. You will also have what he has. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. You cannot have God and the devil all together. You can't have them together. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I said this, you know, it says to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. A partaker is somebody who is actively partaking. If you're a partaker, you are partaking. So you have to actively partake. He has delivered us from the power of the darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for by Him all things were created that were in heaven and that are on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through Him and for Him. And He is above all, or before all things, and in Him all things consist. That means He is before all things. He is the first. He should always be the first. Praise the Lord. But He is going to always be the first. And in Him, all things consist. In God is where, in Christ is where the life is. It's where the life, it's where the freedom is. It's where the direction is. All things are found in Him. Amen? And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have preeminence. God's first. Verse 19, for it pleased the Father that in Him all the fullness should dwell. All the fullness of God dwells in the Son. The more Christ-centered you live, the more His life you will partake of. This is so important. If you get nothing else out of today's message, get this. A Christ-centered life is the only life that a Christian can live. Otherwise, they are just being deceived. Christ-centered, you point it back to Him, and He will lead you and He will guide you. If you constantly direct your eyes on Him, and He is the Word, your problems will all fade. What do I mean by that? Jesus is the Word. If you constantly direct your eyes back to Him, I wanted to get into Peter and I didn't have this in my notes. I wanted to get to Peter on the waves, walking on the water. You know, as He constantly directs our eyes towards Jesus, it works. It works. Jesus is the Word. The Word is Jesus. As we do what the Word says, as we put the Word to practice in our lives, as we decide, as we go after Jesus and say, Lord, what do you want for me to do? What do you have for me to do? What direction is there for me today? Then life works out. Yeah. Praise God. The reason the mountain before you still looks so big is because that is what you're looking at. In life, if you are looking at the trial, if you're consumed with the trial, listen, what's my job as a pastor? When you come to me with the trial you're going through, what do I always try to do? What do I always give you? If you've ever sat with me, is there anybody who's ever sat with me, what do I always say to you? I give you the Word. I point you to the Word because it's the Word that will help. You'd be like, I know that, Pastor. No, you don't know that. I point you to the Word. I point you to the Word because the Word is the only thing that will help. The Word is the only thing that will change. If I point you to the Word, then the mountain will crumble. The mountain will fall away because as you keep your eyes on the thing which is bigger than the mountain, it takes you past the mountain. But when you look at the mountain, that's all you can see. Praise the Lord. When you look at the mountain, that's all you can see. You can't see beyond it. It looks so big. It's so impassable. And yet God is standing over the mountain, but you're so focused on the mountain. See, God wants us to move into things. He wants us to be blessed. I want to scream it at people. God does not want you defeated. But listen, you can't not be defeated if you live the way you always lived. I love what Pastor Michael says, a quote from Pastor Michael, if you do what you always did, you'll have what you always got. If you do what you always did, you'll have what you always got. Your life won't change if you do what you always did. You have to put on something new. You have to try something new. Amen? I'm going to close with this, Acts 17:28. For in Him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, for we are also His offspring. In Him we live and move and have our being. If we are not living and moving and having our being in Him, then we're lost. We're living a life that's a joke. We're living a life that's ineffective. We're living a life that's going nowhere. It is only through Christ that we find freedom. The world will tell you have freedom in the world, but you have no freedom in the world because you're bound by their statutes. You're bound by their direction, everything that they have. Look how much freedom. You look at. I'll give you this example to dwell on as you leave here. Think about famous people. Think about one after another. They can't have a marriage that lasts more than a few months. They can't have, a lot of them are alcoholics and drug addicts, and they have lives that are falling apart. They have access to everything that they want. Why? Because they live according to the world's standards. They are bound by that world. That there's no freedom in that. They have the natural ability to have as much freedom as they want, and yet they're more bound than you and I are. See, God wants you to have things, He wants you to have a blessed life, but He can't give it to you if it's aside from Him. He can't give it to you outside of Him. He can't give it to you if you reject Him. And you can't, if you reject His word, if you reject His sayings and His doings, praise God. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Lord, we know that you've got good things for us. And even though that there's a bold message, Lord, we know that there's the direction in it is to take us out there so we can live in joy and live in peace. And live in love, hallelujah. To live the way that you intended us, God, to have the things that you intended for us to have, which are good things. And so, Lord, we praise you for it. We thank you for it, God. We know that you have got wonderful things for us. And that's why we do it, God. We love you and praise you. Love you and praise you. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, please, nobody looking around. We give this opportunity every week. We like to, the word is important, and preaching the word is important. understanding the word, coming to church, all these things are important. Well, one of the most important decisions that you can make is to receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. Because without him, we read that scripture to start with. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Without me, nobody gets to the Father. That is the truth. You cannot get to heaven. If you were to die today, I want you to ask yourself, if you were to die today, do you know that where you would go? And if you say, well, I've been a good person, I want to ask you this. What standard are you basing that on? Are you basing it on your own standard? Are you basing it on some standard that is a standard this week in the world and may change next week? Are you basing it on a standard that's timeless? A standard that has been here through the ages? A standard that this entire country was founded and built upon? Praise the Lord. Are you basing it on the God's standard, or are you basing it on your own? Because I'm going to tell you, just as with everything else in your life, you will fail. I'm not saying that you're a failure, but I'm saying that humans will fail. You'll make mistakes. You'll do things that are imperfect. But God's way will always lead you to blessing. So I ask you, if you don't know today, if you don't know, don't gamble with eternity. The Bible says in Romans 10:9 that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that you will be saved. So if that's you, if you've never received Jesus and you'd like to today, it's real easy. All heads are bowed, all eyes are closed, nobody's looking around. We'll have you raise your hand real quick, I'll have you put it right back down, and then we're all going to pray a prayer together. It's not joining this church. It's not signing up for some club. All it is saying, yes, I want to receive Jesus. I want that guarantee that I get to go to heaven. So if that's you, you've never received Jesus, go ahead and lift up your hand real quick. I'll have you put it right back down. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for that hand. You can put it down. Hallelujah. Glory, glory. Maybe you have received Jesus, but you walked away. And I don't mean you made a few mistakes, but you completely walked away. And you want to get back on track. You're saying, you know what? I know that walking that path is not good. I want to get back to where I was. I want to go further than I ever could have before. If that's you, and you'd like to receive, or you'd like to come back into God's graces, go ahead and raise your hand real quick. Thank you, Lord. You put that hand down. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we're going to pray a prayer. We had a couple of hands there. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time together and this ability. So I ask everybody here to repeat this after me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus is Lord. He died for my sins so I could be born again, so I could walk with him, so I could enter that place with you. Lord, I love you. I'll follow you the best that I can. Be my Lord and Savior all the days of my life. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Glory to God. Well, you know, I know that's kind of a heavy message. There's a lot of stuff in there. There was some really interesting utterance in there, but it's to help people. And God wants to help people. I want to help people. You know that we love you. If I'm bold, you only know it's because I love you. I want to get something out. I want to get something across to you. Jesus was bold to people as well. We have that precedent in Scripture. And so I leave it with that. Not as one who is regretful for the things that I preached today, but as one who wants you to go and understand that the peace happens when we put into practice what happens here. The peace and joy happens out there. Amen.